Let's go ahead and stand tonight for the reading of the word. Matthew chapter number 12, verse number 22. Matthew 12, verse 22. And the word says, "Then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him insomuch that the blind and the dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, Is not this the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, This fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of devils. And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. And every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore, they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Or else, how can one enter a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house? He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad." Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight for your word. I ask you to come and touch our hearts. Grant to us the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you. We give you thanks tonight. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said, amen. 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 You may be seated. And so we've been talking about the language of God and how our confession should be. And somebody say we should have a good confession. Have a good confession. That means what you say out of your mouth. Amen. See, I should be saying good things, good things, good things. Look at somebody, say, good things are coming to you because God's word is a good word. Amen. Amen. And so this is interesting here because then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. Now, one of the things that Jesus did in his ministry is he dealt with a lot of people that were dumb. Everybody say dumb. Dumb. I think it's interesting because I think all devils are dumb. Amen. A dumb spirit that he's dealing with here, and a blind spirit. Because if you understand that when God was dealing with Israel, he said blindness in part has happened unto Israel. One of the things that Isaiah 44 says, chapter number 44, he begins to talk about Israel, and he said that that they have ears that cannot hear and eyes that cannot see. And so when Jesus came on the scene, he spent a lot of time casting out dumb spirits and blindness. Now, we could say that that is spiritual, and I believe that it is spiritually speaking in lots of ways, but these were physical manifestations that took place. But tonight, I want to just kind of some things that the Lord stirred in my spirit today as I was studying and meditating upon this word that he had here. There was brought unto him one possessed with the devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him in so much that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, "Is not this the son of David?" One of the things that Jesus, when he talks about the sower of the word, he talks about falling on good ground, some falling on bad ground. And it all has to do with the way that you hear the word. Has to do with the way that you hear the word. Everybody say hear. Hear. What does Jesus say many, many times in Scripture, especially in the Revelation? Let him that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. So that's evidence that's telling me that the Spirit of God is constantly speaking to the church. Constantly speaking to us. And so if I were the devil, I would try my best to cause people to have deaf ears. Deaf ears. Everybody say deaf ears. Amen. And dumb tongues. Because I certainly would not want them hearing what God said, and I definitely would not want them saying what God said. Because when he's talking about hearing it, he's talking about it registering in your spirit, all right? Getting right here. Amen. You know, you can have the best preachers in the world, the best teachers in the world, and you can set and you can allow it to go right by your spirit man. But it's God's will for us to hear. Because when you hear it, that's when faith comes alive. Amen? Faith cometh by what? Hearing. Hearing. So there's a spirit that's called a deaf spirit and a spirit that's called a dumb spirit. And a deaf spirit is a sign to keep you from hearing the word of God. That dumb spirit and that deaf spirit is a sign to you to cause you to be so preoccupied with stuff. Everybody say stuff. Everybody say life. Preoccupied with life. To the point that you're so busy and so caught up in whatever's going on in your world. Listen, that can be, and it can be some bad stuff going on in your world. But the Bible says that the Spirit of God is speaking all the time. Let him. You know, it's easy to catch that word that the devil's speaking. I'm going to say that one more time after I take a drink of this. How about two drinks? I said it's easy to catch what the devil's saying. Because the devil is, first of all, going to pander to something that you want to hear. Secondly, he's going to talk to you about your circumstances, how bad they are, how grievous they are. What could come about as a result of those things, because that's what he wants you to focus on. Therefore, to cause us to miss what the Spirit of God is saying. You see, I'm a firm believer that probably 100% of the time that God is always releasing a word from the Spirit to us long before the arrival of an attack of our adversary. He begins to speak to us and deal with us and quicken us and about things that can strengthen our faith, how to overcome and conquer certain things. And I have learned down through the years that lots of times that we don't catch that or allow it to slip by. And then when you get thrown into those circumstances, you're like those disciples out on the sea that were tossed and when the waves were coming and crashing down. Because when you get caught in the winds and the waves of adversity and they're crashing down all around you, it can be very difficult to really hear what God is saying at that moment. But isn't it amazing? You can just be riding down the road and the Holy Ghost can just speak to you. You say, yes, Lord, praise God, hallelujah. 2-3 months later, you don't remember that word. So we need to learn to remember what he said prior to what the devil is sending. You know, I'm reminded of dreams that the Lord has given me about things that are happening in the nation, things that happened before COVID came, things that when they were burning the cities and all the lawlessness and all the different things that were there. That was because God wanted me to begin to pray against those things. Amen. He didn't just give you a dream or speak to you to run around and say, pray. You know, God spoke to me. God told me something. God revealed to me something. Well, Bobo, why'd he do it? Why did God reveal it to you? And see, that deaf spirit and that dumb spirit wants to keep you from catching that rhema word that can bring life into the situation or cancel hell's assignment altogether. Amen? And so Jesus here, this is a really interesting story as we get into this tonight. All the people were amazed and said, "Isn't this the son of David?" Listen to the next line. But when the Pharisees heard it, all right now, evidently one crowd's hearing one thing and these Pharisees are hearing something else. "Is not this the son of David?" But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, "This fellow does not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of devils." Isn't it interesting how they heard? Having eyes, they see not. Having ears, they hear not. You know what? One of the problems is, and I think that this is one of the things that the enemy does, is that they had a root of bitterness in them. I think that they had jealousy to contend with. I think that they, you know, certainly were religious. And they were really jealous of Jesus. Amen? Amen. So you think about this. But they didn't give a holy hoot who he was. All they wanted to do was just shut him down. Amen. But the first crowd said, "Isn't this the son of David? Is not this the Redeemer? Is not this the Messiah? Isn't this the one that's going to come to set us free, to heal us, to put us on top and give us victory, you know, to give us overcoming strength? Isn't this the one that we've been looking for?" And so these Pharisees, these teachers here say, no. "He's full of the devil and casting out devils by the power of the devil." All right, now listen. "And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them," listen, "every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. And every city or house divided against itself cannot stand." Every kingdom divided against itself. Every kingdom. All right, let's think for a minute. Kingdom, house, because in the scripture, a nation can be a house. The house of Israel, the house of Jacob, the house of David. A church can be a house of God, a house of prayer. Amen. You can. You are a temple of God. Somebody say, "I'm a house. I house God." Amen. We're the temple of God. All right. But if you're divided, somebody say, "If I'm divided," if a house is divided against itself, if it's divided against itself, what happens? It's brought to desolation. It's brought to desolation. So the adversary wants me to be conflicted inside, divided in my thinking. You know, we kind of get the little picture of the angel on one side of the shoulder and the devil on the other side, and one saying one thing and one saying something else. And so it's brought to desolation. See, I believe in order for the atmosphere to shift or for a region to be taken or mindsets to be changed, the division's got to be dealt with and destroyed. Amen? Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. I want to read this scripture to you. Verse 10, chapter 1, verse 10, 1 Corinthians. Paul says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all," how many is that? That you all, "speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you." Now, one of the things that he's dealing with here is because they've all gotten little factions. I'm for Peter, I'm for Paul, I'm for Apollos, I'm for this, and I'm for that. You know, it's just like Jesus had that issue settled when on the Mount of Transfiguration, when, you know, remember when they were wanting to build tabernacles? One for Jesus, and one for this, and one for that. And the Father spoke out of that glory cloud and said, "This is my son, listen to him. Listen to him." Everybody say, listen to Jesus. Listen to Jesus. All right. That you all speak the same thing and that there be no divisions among you, and that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same discernment, judgment. Okay. All right. And so that's important. I said, that's important. Let's go back to Matthew chapter number 12. All right. This is what he says. He said, a house divided against itself cannot stand. Now, number one, you got to see yourself as a house. You got to see your family as a house. You got to see your church as a house. You got to see the kingdom of God as a house. Come on. Come on. Come on. I was thinking about this because the world is really good at getting its act together in unity, in one sense of the word. You know, there's a story, I think it's Acts chapter 19. Paul was preaching in Ephesus. You remember when he went there, and in the story, you know, Paul began to come against the goddess Diana. Now listen, what happened as a result of that? The Bible said that the whole city got in an uproar because he came against that demonic spirit. All right? Came against the demonic spirit. The whole city got in an uproar. And the Bible said in the King James Version that they became angry. They wanted Paul dead. All right. You think about that demonic spirit and these people, because these people were hearing something other than the Spirit of God. For them to get in an uproar and an upheaval like that, much like America today in all of our cities where we have seen all this stuff happen and this rage. How about right now, this rage of anti-Semitism? Because the devil has caused them to hear a certain thing. Matter of fact, they've heard a lie. Amen. There's no Palestinian state. Free Palestine. There's no such thing. But isn't it amazing how angry that people are? They're willing to kill each other, willing to scream death to America and everything else. I'm like, if you don't like America, move. Get out. Nobody's holding you here. If our nation is so bad, leave the house. Leave the house. A house divided against itself cannot stand. All right? So you think about the demonic powers that got stirred up to the point Paul had to get out of there. But that shows you when people hear the wrong thing, what can get stirred up? Isn't it amazing that negative information can catch fire so fast? Come on, listen to me. Listen to me. Listen to me. Understanding that you're a house, your body's a house, your family's a house, all these things. And so here they are. Jesus knew their thoughts. And he said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself cannot stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself, and his kingdom shall not stand. And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore, they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Or else, how can one enter a strong man's house, spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house? He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Wow. Now, you think about that verse right there. Okay, I'm going somewhere here in a minute. How can you enter a strong man's house, spoil his goods, except you first bind the strong man? When I look at my nation and I say, or I even look at the church, I say, how in the world did we get in this condition? Somebody's hearing the wrong thing. And the answer is not more programs. The answer is not more methodology. The answer is not more technology. The answer is a brokenness and a humbleness before the Lord and a total absolute dependence upon the Holy Ghost to send awakening and a breaking to America. Somebody say amen. We need revival. We need an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. But much of the rhetoric that we hear is a division against what's going on in the house. You can't have 25 people saying one thing and 25 people saying something else and 25 people saying something else and 25 other people saying something else, especially with an election that's coming up. You can't be divided and win. Somebody say, you got to get unified. You got to get unified. Because the only way that Satan can come into a house is for that house to be divided. Somebody's listening to the devil. Somebody's listening to the devil. Amen. And I'm not saying that you guys are. I'm just talking in general here, okay? Not accusing you of anything. I just want to get your eyes open to something. All right? So how can one enter a strong man's house and spoil his goods? Well, number one, I want the devil's goods spoiled. I want him ran out of my nation, out of the church, out of people's lives, out of people's minds. Huh? How can he spoil his goods except you first bind the strong man? Remember, we talked about binding and loosing Sunday morning. Because we, as a royal subjects of the King of all kings, have all authority and power to bind, chain, put in fetters these demonic powers. And somebody say, why hasn't it happened? It's because it, on a small scale in certain things, yes, but nationally, no. That's because the church is so divided. Amen. Somebody saying, we need to come together. We need to come together. He that is not with me is against me. He that gathereth not with me is scattered abroad. And remember, we said this, I think a couple of weeks back, that we are identified by the words that we speak. We're identified. Mm-hmm. By what comes out of our mouth. Everybody say, but what comes out of your mouth? You enter a strong man's house with your words. Amen. Amen. All right. Let's look right here. Verse number 35. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word, remember we spoke about that, argos, every idle word that men shall speak, every word that is not employed. And he's talking about the redeemed, you and I. That as the church and as God's people, that I have to calculate and think about what I'm going to say. What do I want to say? I want to say what the Spirit of God is telling me to say. I want to say what the Word of God says and not just be shooting stuff out of my mouth from every direction. Every idle word, every false word, every unprofitable word, of every unemployed word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. Because by your words you shall be justified, and by your words you shall be condemned. I want to assign my speech. God did in the beginning. Let there be. I believe when Paul went into cities and preached that he assigned his words. I believe Peter assigned his words. I believe that when men get up and preach that they've been before God, if they've prayed and are seeking his face, that God has given them a word to employ, to assign that word. Because if God is assigning a word to us for somebody to speak, then he is preparing us to take out the adversary in our future. Amen? Could be tomorrow. Could be the next day. Somebody say amen. Amen. Somebody say it doesn't take but one word, just one word, just one word. Verse number 43. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walks through dry places seeking rest and finding none. Then he says, I will return into my what? House from whence I came out. And when he has come, He finds it empty, swept, and garnished. And he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be with this wicked and adulterous, oh, this wicked generation. Now, I thought it interesting because I think it's in the Message translation that he uses the word, you know, when he's speaking about this particular verse right here, he says that the people were in slumber. You remember out of Matthew 25 when he talked about the people, everybody slumbered and slept, right? Five wise, five foolish virgins. You had five wise that had extra oil with them, and you had five foolish that didn't have any oil. Right? And so one of the things that he's talking about here is that we want to make sure that we're not only swept and garnished, but we have extra oil in us. Everybody say extra oil. Extra oil. Now, I can take that to mean, to me, I can say this. What are you talking about? That in the time when the adversary attacks me, I want to have already been letting the Spirit of God speak to me to prepare me, you know, for that I can have extra oil when the enemy comes and not just be slumbering and sleeping. Somebody say, I want to be awake, because if I get hit by the adversary, I want to be alert. What did Peter say? 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, be awake in the normal hours of sleeping, for your adversary, the devil, goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Amen. He can only devour people that are slumbering and sleeping. He can only devour people that are listening to what he has said instead of allowing the Spirit of God to prepare them. Somebody say amen. Amen. And so I want to make sure that I got extra oil. Somebody say extra oil. Extra oil. He said, because this spirit, when he comes back, this is interesting, because he says, I'll return to my house. I'll return to my house. And he finds it swept and garnished. Right? Swept and garnished. And he says to himself, I'm going to get seven other spirits more wicked than myself, and I'm going to come back and inhabit this place. Because the neglect to keep ourselves full of oil can cost us dearly in our future. I said the neglect to stay full of oil and have extra oil can affect you in your future. Amen? Because if I've learned anything over the years, I have learned that when you feel blah and when you feel like, you know, not doing it, that's the time that you need to do it. Somebody said, what is it? Pray, fast, stay in the word, and don't quit. Do not deviate from it. Amen? Because I don't want to let my house get divided against itself. Because the devil says, oh, no, you just need to take some time off and rest. You need to have some me time. Oh, you don't need to do all that reading that Bible. I mean, you've read it enough. You've read it four or five times. You know that's enough. Well, hey, I can tell you right now, every time I look into it, I see something different. He gives me my daily bread, not stale bread from last week or last month. He gives me daily bread for today. I want to hear what my God Spirit is saying right now. Because the Holy Spirit is speaking. Let him that hath an ear hear what the Spirit of God is saying. One word. And that's the thing about it. When we get caught up, listen, if you're in turmoil, if you're in the fog of war, if hell's coming from every direction, you better believe the devil is moving. And he's trying to keep me from hearing something that God wants me to hear, because whatever that is that God wants me to hear is going to destroy the work of the adversary. Bring life into my situation and turn it around. Somebody say hallelujah. Glory to God. And he said about these idle words, he said, make sure. He said, if God speaks to you, if God is talking to you, somebody saying, he is talking to me. He is talking to me. When God speaks to you, it's important. Remember it. Write it down. Say it. Rehearse it with your mouth and hear it with your own ears. Say what God says. Amen? And so he said, men shall give an account for every idle word. Every word that is not assigned. So I want to take that word that God is speaking and I want to assign it to my situation. So what is he saying? Somebody say, what is he saying? What is he saying? What is he saying? Amen. let me get over here. In 1 Corinthians, let's go back over there. First Corinthians chapter 2. Chapter 2. Verse 7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, Paul's quoting Isaiah, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things which God had prepared for them that love him. Well, what does verse 10 say? You should know it. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. What? Eye has not seen, ear has not heard. Blindness has happened in part to Israel. Things were hid from them. It's like Paul says, he said the Greeks are always looking for some fancy philosophy, and he said the Jews are looking for a miracle. He said, but Christ is the miracle. Amen. Somebody say, Jesus has everything I need. Listen to what he said. But as it is written, eyes not seen or ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of men the things that God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. All right, let's drop down a little bit. Verse 14. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. Talking about a carnal man. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is not judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Chapter number 3. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. You remember Paul says in the book of Ephesians, when he's addressing the church, he said, don't be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. The word is nepios in the Greek, and he's talking about not able to articulate what God is saying to you. Amen. You're like a baby. You don't know what to do with it. One of the things he's talking about here. And see, the enemy's job is to do what? To keep me from hearing what the Spirit of God is saying right now. I need to hear what God is saying right now. I need that daily bread. I need the daily bread. I need God's word now. I need it right now. Somebody say, I need it now. And see, carnal people, everybody say carnal people, this is the way they think right here, cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God because they're foolishness to them. I've heard that before. I mean, I listened to that tape. I mean, you know, yeah, I don't need that. Tell me something new. Well, you ain't learned the old yet. Why do you want something new? Huh? And see, the Apostle Paul says, I couldn't speak unto you as spiritual, but as unto carnal, because you're just like a little baby. Amen? And so we should be maturing. Everybody say maturing and growing, maturing and growing. All right, let's look at Ephesians. And this is where Paul is praying And I think this is probably one of the reasons that he prays this prayer. Verse number 15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Far above all principality, power, might, and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, which is his house, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all things. So the Apostle Paul, right here he goes again. He's telling us his prayers for God to give us a vertical window into the things of the Spirit. Most people see horizontally. They see their problem. They see the circumstances. They see the sickness. They see the poverty. They see the need. And they live in that like little babies, because a baby only knows one thing: feed me. It's time to feed me. Wah, wah, wah. It's time to coddle me. It's time to pat me on the back. It's time to, love me. It's time to do all this stuff. You know, that's what babies do. Amen. Paul said, this is what I'm praying for you. Since I heard of your faith in Jesus, I'm asking God to grant you a vertical window into the things of the Spirit. I want you to have eyes that see. And I'm just going to add this, and ears that can hear what the Spirit of God is saying to you. And if you go on through there, it's where he says, and be not babes tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Be solid in the word. Somebody say, be solid. Be solid, so that whatever God has been dealing with you about over the past several months or maybe a year or whatever, if God is speaking to you something, I want to tell you, it has no time limit on it. It does not expire. And so what do we do when it hasn't expired or the time limit hasn't come up on it yet? What do we do? We just keep on keeping on. Amen. And so what we want to do is hone our gifts and our abilities in the Spirit, leaning on the Lord. We want to hone in on that and become sharper and sharper and sharper, that whenever that thing that the enemy may have planned comes, that we squash it that quick in Jesus' name. Somebody say, put your foot on it. Amen. Put the devil in his place. Knock him out. Amen. Amen. Somebody say, knock him out. Knock him out. Knock him out. All right. We'll go one more place here. Let's go to Psalm 107. And this is where it is the reoccurring, oh, that men would praise the Lord. Speak it. But listen to what he says in Psalm 107. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed out from the hand of the enemy. Somebody say, let the redeemed say so. Amen. Say so. Well, if I've got eyes to see it and ears to hear it, then I want to say what God said. I am the redeemed of the Lord. I am redeemed from every foul thing that hell could ever do to me or bring against me. I'm redeemed by the blood that puts me in a level where hell cannot touch me. I'm protected by the blood. I'm redeemed. I'm redeemed. I'm redeemed from death. I'm redeemed from sickness and disease. I'm redeemed from poverty. Praise God. I've got to know that. I just can't just hear it and say, well, that's beautiful words, but I want to praise the Lord for his wonderful works unto the children of men. I want to give God glory for that. Somebody say amen. Amen. Listen, redeemed out of the hand of the enemy. The enemy. He's redeemed you out of the hand of the enemy. Let him that has an ear, let him hear what this says. And gather them out of the lands from the east and the west and the north and the south. They wandered in the wilderness. God did all this stuff for them. In verse number 8, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works until the children of men. For he satisfied the longing soul and filled the hungry soul with goodness, such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore, he brought down their heart with labor. He's talking about those that refuse to listen. Then they cried. Verse 13. Somebody say, then they cried. Then they cried. Then they cried. My God, if you get in trouble, what are you going to do? I've got eyes to see, I've got ears to hear. And this word right here tells me that if I've been rebellious and stubborn, then what I need to do is repent and do what? Cry unto the Lord. Somebody say, cry unto the Lord in my trouble, and he will save us out of our distresses. See, he's telling you right there, you should live stress-free. Stress spelt backwards is dessert. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and break their bands in sunder. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his wonderful works unto the children of men. For he broke the gates of brass, cut the bars of iron asunder. Man, verse 21, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his wonderful works unto the children of men. Verse 31, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his wonderful works unto the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people and praise him in the assembly of the elders in the house. Somebody say, in the house. He turns rivers into a wilderness and water springs and the water springs into dry ground, a fruitful land into barrenness for the wicked of them that dwell therein. He turns the wilderness into a standing water and dry ground into water springs. And there he makes the hungry to dwell, that they may prepare a city for habitation and sow the fields, plant vineyards, which may yield fruits of increase. He blessed them also so that they are multiplied greatly and suffered not their cattle to be to decrease. Again, they are ministered, brought low through oppression and affliction and sorrow. He poured out contempt upon the princes, etc., etc., etc. He goes to this over and over again because it's a cycle that people get in. You know why we get in it? Because we don't hear. And we don't speak. Let him that hath an ear, somebody say, let him that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit of God is saying to the church. Amen. You see, I believe the church has missed it majorly in several different areas over the past 25 to 30 years, especially through the Seeker Friendly Movement. But there's another thing that the church is trying to get into right now. I talked about some last week that I believe we're going to majorly miss it again. We need the presence of God. We need the glory in the house. We need the manifest presence there. We don't need another program. Busy, being busy only does one thing. It keeps you from prayer. It makes you tired. It wears you out, keeps you from your family. Come on. And we think that more business is going to save the world. No, it's not. What's going to save the world is what gets on those people in the Bible that when they walk in the streets that they're shadowed. Drive the devil out and brings healing to people and deliverance in Jesus' name. Come on now. Oh, see, we need to hear. Somebody say, hear, 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 hear. Hear, hear, hear. Let him that hear, let him that hath an ear, let him that hath an ear hear what the Spirit is saying unto the churches. And so Jesus, what'd he do? He cast that deaf and dumb spirit out. And so much that that guy spoke. Come on. Somebody say, he got with it. He got with it. And so I believe that probably one of the major divisions that we have is not necessarily amongst people. It's between us and the Spirit. What do you mean? Because when he tries to pin us down to say something to us, we squirm our way out instead of listening to what he has to say. Because it may not be necessarily what we want to hear. Somebody say amen. Amen. We seek men first and seek the Holy Ghost second. And we should seek the Holy Ghost first and not men. And then men. But go into the presence of God. Somebody say, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Wow. And so I don't want a division between me and the Holy Spirit. I want to be connected to divinity, the presence of the Lord. God, help us to hear what the Spirit is saying unto the church. Help us hear what the Spirit says unto the church. Let me hear. Everybody put your hand on your ear. Say, Lord, give me an ear to hear. Let me have ears to hear. Let me hear, Lord. Clearly let me hear. I receive that right now. In Jesus' name. Touch your lips. Say, Lord, let me speak what I hear your Spirit saying, and say it the way that you want me to say it, when you want me to say it, and only then. And I thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. 8 o'clock. Hallelujah. Everybody say hallelujah. Stand up on your feet. Praise God. God is good. God is good. God is good. Father, I pray tonight that in the name of the Lord Jesus, that you will just help us, Lord, to be more attuned to you, to understand that when the enemy begins to work, and Lord, we get in the fog of war, all the turmoil that he brings against us is to try to keep us from hearing your voice. I don't want my inner desire to be louder than your voice. I don't want what I want to get in the way of what you want. I want an ear to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying unto the church. Because your word alone moves the mountain, and it will move. Give us eyes to see, singleness of heart toward you. Reveal to us by your Spirit. Give us that, Lord, we thank you that we receive that vertical window. Revelation knowledge. And Father, I pray that if something has been spoken into our hearts last month, couple of months, whatever, that God, we will put a value on that and understand that you never waste a word. Help us to assign our words as you speak to us. Let them find their place, Lord. Let them be like arrows. Let them find their mark. Holy Spirit, make us dangerous. Let the enemy be put to flight. You said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed out of the hand of the enemy. And so, Lord, we thank you right now that you do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or that we think. Thank you for your holy word. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Thank you for it, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Does anybody need prayer tonight before we go? I do want to remind you, don't forget next Wednesday, July the 4th celebration. It's on the 3rd. Don't get your days mixed up. We're celebrating the 4th on the 3rd. Everybody got that? The 4th on the 3rd. Sign up sheet in the back. And, you know, if you want to bring something, you know, make sure you sign it. I think it's got it all categorized back there. And we're going to have a great time. Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Well, may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May he turn his face toward you, lift his countenance to you, and grant you peace in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed in the name of